The gospel reading for today is from Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 17. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.
Amen. Have you ever felt like you did something that you kind of lowered yourself? I've heard that term before. Done something that was what you considered beneath you. Perhaps you felt like you're a little too important. You're a little too, your skills are too valuable to be wasted in such a way. Your time is too precious to lower yourself to commit to a task that's some kind of menial thing that needs to be done. The word descending is what I thought of when I read the verse in the gospel today that says, and pulled these two particularly because these were verses that were inspirational for the hymn writers on our two hymns for today. The gospel reading for the angels singing, and then also the Old Testament reading, reminding us of this Lord that was coming in the clouds, if you will. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, and that coming of Christ is going to happen again, we're told. But in that gospel reading, there was the line, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord." I kind of still hear that echoing in my head even when I think of the Peanuts Christmas show, because you get Linus out there reading all of Luke chapter 2, and you know, that's an important line in that this Savior has been born to you and come to you. And with that he's coming to us. So he's descending from heaven to earth. He's coming down to be with us. Normally, when we think of the word descending, we can take the opposite, ascending, and you put those two together, and one is considered positive, and the other is not considered positive. I mean, unless you're on an escalator, I guess, you know, you ascend, descend at the mall, you know, it doesn't really matter there. But the whole thought, you're ascending in life, you're ascending in your job, you're ascending in the things that you've done, you're ascending in knowledge, you're ascending versus descending. Descending kind of has a negative connotation a lot of the time, and the idea that you're going down. Yeah, you're going down, and that doesn't sound good at all. If we could choose to ascend or descend, the ascend sounds a whole lot better. But then Jesus did what Jesus does and what God does, and he takes our knowledge and flips it around on us and says, "You just don't know what you're thinking about or talking about, because this is what's most important." And Jesus, as opposed to ascending, his action that was most important for us was in the descending. Because if he didn't come to earth, he couldn't die for us. He couldn't ascend later, which he does do, if he hadn't lowered himself first. And that's what Jesus does. He comes and he lowers himself to take on the menial tasks. We're talking God Most High here comes to become a baby. God Most High chose to be born in humanity. God Most High chooses to be a part of mankind and go through what it takes and to grow up, to feel growing pains. You know, we're always sorry for our kids when they were going through those growing pains and those periods where we can't help them to understand, yes, your legs are going to ache for a while because you're growing, and that's just what happens. Jesus had to go through those things. Jesus had to go through, I'm sure, the scraped knees, the falling down, the getting hurt at times. Jesus had to go through a lot more than even that, certainly with the temptations that he faced later in life, and of course, even up to the crucifixion. But what God did was God didn't say, you know what, I'm going to make myself even more prevalent and more higher than everything and make sure that you realize that I am your God. No, he came to be a part of our life. He descended to us. He descends to take human form. And he descends from that heavenly throne to become human flesh. And becoming that child of Bethlehem that we focus on this time of year that's so important, to think that God would lower himself to our level. I mean, we know what we are. We know how we behave. We know what this world is like. I was at Walmart yesterday. No, day before yesterday. What was it? Friday at Walmart. Went to a Walmart. There was an argument ensuing. I'm thinking, I hope this doesn't escalate too much. Loud yelling between people involving racial issues, and I'm thinking this could really get out of hand quickly. But the party that was the offended and the loudest actually walked away, which was really good. I'm watching in anticipation that things could become very dangerous. Right. Really? This time of year even, we can't have a little more peace amongst ourselves than normally. But the very fact that we have these kinds of disagreements and arguments and whatever set those folks off, that those things even exist, it's shameful. We're supposed to live together in peace, to be God's children together, to recognize that God died for this other person that I may be upset with, that I may dislike, that I may have a grudge against. God died for them too, so I need to get over these things, right? Not so easy from a human standpoint. And you want to become like us, God? And he did. He descended to become like us. Basically, he took where he was, being God of all, God of everything, and came into this world and had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not even the ability to care for himself. You can't descend much farther than that. To give up everything, to become seemingly insignificant as just another child out there. I mean, yeah, significant to the folks, absolutely, but as far as most of the rest of the world, would have gone completely overlooked. If it hadn't been for those angels, I'll cue the angels. Just checking, give them a chance. They come out singing and they tell the story and the good news is there and the good news is born in the gospel story. But then Jesus even went one further. Because if you couldn't descend any farther than going from being God of all to being human, he descended to hell. We even confess that in our creed. We remember that he did that. He didn't go there to be punished. He wasn't taking our punishment there. The punishments ended at the cross. He went there to show that he was victorious, that death couldn't hold him. He went there for, if you will, a victory lap before ascending for us. And here we are, people before God. And when it comes to ascending or descending, we've actually done something in our life by choice, and we've descended as well. Not in a good way. Because you see, God came and through his death and resurrection on the cross, Jesus lifted us up and said, you belong to me. Follow me, live for me, and know that I've got you taken care of. And we have descended from that point because we've chosen to do our own things and go our own ways and try and make this life work many times on our own without God. That's not ascending, that's descending, that's going down. We've chosen to take a step down when God was the one that lifted us up. So we end up going through the refiner's fire every now and then. We deal with afflictions, and those help us along the way to grow and to mature and to come to Jesus as best as we can, but we've already blown it. And our sinfulness, which, granted, we have the sinfulness that we inherit, but we have a lot of actual sin that we've chosen to pull ourselves away from God. We've chosen to descend a little further. And so we deal with sorrow and sufferings and shame instead of the glory be to God on high. As the Spirit descended upon Jesus, so that Spirit also descended upon us in the waters of holy baptism. And yet we don't always choose to live in that baptismal grace. Well, what I wish we could do is just quiet our heads, our hearts, quiet ourselves enough to consider again what we have from God. That forgiveness of sins. That love of Christ in our lives. That gift of his sacrifice on the cross and the open tomb that was all for us. The hopes and the fears of all the years being met in Jesus, and knowing that Jesus saves us from them all. We've loved ourselves, and we've loved the world more than we've loved God, who sought to raise us up. We've descended. But Advent's an opportunity for us to remember that we don't have to stay there. Because as Christ came for us, and that word Advent, again, that word means to come, we can come back to him. We can be forgiven again. No matter what it's been like in this past week, no matter what it's been like this morning, maybe even. We've all had those mornings where it got to the point where, you know, I don't know if church is going to help this any. It's one of those days. Those days happen on Sunday mornings too, sometimes in the families. But hopefully it does help, because we're reminded again of his love for us and his compassion for us. And we're reminded that he came not just for the world, but that means for us. He came to save the world. He's not saving trees and donkeys and rocks. He's saving you when he's saving the world. You're the world to him. And Jesus made sure you knew that by becoming one of us, by giving up everything for you. Now we have the opportunity to return to him, to come back to him, and know that in following him and loving him and in believing in this Christ who came down for us, he's going to lift us up again, to raise us up in this life through the forgiveness of sins, and in the life to come when he comes to bring us all, to help us all to ascend to that heavenly home. That's the life ahead for you. That's not just a hope ahead for you. That is a guarantee. In the Greek, we have this tense that's called future perfect. When you say something, it may not seem like it's taken place now, but it's already done. It's a sure thing, and it can't be undone. So to say that Jesus has given you all the glories of heaven. And then you think, well, I don't have them, can't hold them, can't touch them, can't feel them. They're there. It's a guarantee. Nothing can take those away from you. It's a future perfect thing. It's going to happen, just as he said. And as surely as he's promised to come down one more time, that time is going to be the last, because we're going to rise up with him. We're going to finally ascend beyond even where the Lord has lifted us up to this point in our life, to join him in the glories of heaven. Continue to remember in this Advent season that birth, that giving up of everything, that descending of God was all so that you could ascend to the heavenly realms through his forgiveness and through his love, through his mercy for you. That baby came. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen. I'm not going to have you stand for the closing prayer, because I just make you sit right down again. We're going to talk just a little bit about Belize and share some awesome news with you about that. But let's have a transition prayer if we could. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day again. Thank you for coming down for us, making yourself to be nothing so that, Lord, we would have everything. And we have it now. We may not see it or feel it or touch it, but we have it now. It's all for us and all from you. As you have given everything to us that you earned for us on your cross and in that tomb, help us to continue to follow you, to give our hearts to you, and to worship this babe again. That means everything for us, because you gave up everything for us so that we might have and hold in the future everything with you. In your name we pray. Amen.